This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 4:02. If you didn't catch much sports news over the weekend and are just catching up right now on Monday, you've missed a lot, particularly in college football. So for the latest on that, let's get John Wilner from the San Jose Mercury News in here. John, how are you? Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. What's the latest? What are you hearing about what could happen with the Pac-12 football season?
Well, I think the chances are very high that it's going to get canceled, perhaps in the next 24 hours or sometime, you know, in the next week or so. But it is hard to see a way forward at this point.
How much of this has to do with the Big Ten? You know, you keep hearing that they're going to follow in the footsteps of the Big Ten, or is this just independent and the Pac-12 is just, you know, they're looking at this on their own and saying, we can't do this?
Well, I think that my guess is that they will follow the Big Ten. So the Big Ten presidents are meeting tonight. I'm not sure if they're going to vote to cancel tonight or not. I think if they vote to cancel, then the Pac-12 presidents will probably do the same thing tomorrow. If the Big Ten presidents decide they're just basically going to pause and evaluate things for the next week or two, Pac-12 may very well do the same thing. You know, I think that they'll kind of move in lockstep. The conferences have, you know, a long association together on the field and also in academic missions. And so they're pretty closely aligned.
So, John, as you made it clear, it's the Pac-12 presidents, university presidents, that are the ones deciding this. What changed to, because, you know, they put out a schedule. They say, hey, we're going to play a 10-game season. You know, have all this, you know, teams are practicing. What has changed to make them view it differently now?
I think what has changed, and I was wondering that too, but ESPN had a report this afternoon about myocarditis, which is an infection of the heart that is caused by COVID-19. And the Big Ten has had multiple athletes this summer test positive for the heart ailment. And I believe it is entirely possible the Pac-12 has as well, because athletes from across the country, and it hasn't been reported until now, but athletes from multiple conferences have been found to have this inflammation of the heart muscle. And it can affect perfectly healthy, you know, college athletes, age 20, 21 years old. It's not something that just attacks the old and vulnerable. And I think that has become a red flag for the presidents in the last week or 10 days as more information has come out about the impact that coronavirus can have on the heart.
Yeah, it's like I saw today when the Mountain West made their cancellation that the main reason behind it was they said liability. And when I'm assuming when you're dealing with a president like at UW that's dealing with an $8 billion university budget, not a $70 million athletic budget, that the idea of having an athlete or two die probably rings a little more, a little more serious than players or coaches or AD saying we want to play because we want to play.
Certainly liability is going to be part of the calculation. There's no doubt about that. And I think that if you've had a kid, you know, if you're a president and you've got kids on your campus or in your conference that have, you know, been found to have this heart ailment, it's different. You know, that makes it more personal. And I think that, you know, university presidents are very risk averse by nature. They have been very wary of playing football in a pandemic, partly because of the optics and partly because of the threat to the kids' health. And then you add the potential for a heart ailment, and I think that probably tips the scales.
Is it your understanding that if the Pac-12 does punt, that they would look to try to play in the spring?
My understanding is that there is some discussion about playing in the spring, but I don't know that everybody thinks it's a good idea or can even be worked out logistically. Because there's a bunch of problems. Foremost among them is you're going to ask the players to have two seasons in one calendar year, 20 games in, you know, what would basically be 10 months, 11 months. And can they make that work? Is that putting the players in a, you know, in a bad spot physically? And this is also assuming that there's progress against the virus too. So that's a big issue. I think they will look at it. I don't know if they cancel, say they cancel tomorrow. I don't know that they're necessarily going to come out and say we are attempting to play in the spring. They will probably be patient and very conservative with any promises about what's next.
You know, we've heard, you know, from the SEC supposedly is going to try to play, and now these rumors, you know, like Nebraska or other teams joining in super conferences. Can you, I don't know if this is something that you're comfortable speaking on, but just that I find this all absurd when you talk about, like, let's say a school from the Pac-12 decides that they're going to go do their own thing. Just the entanglement there from contracts and TV deals. In your mind, how realistic is it that any one of these schools from a conference, whether the Pac-12, Big Ten, could just go off and do their own thing if the conference cancels the season?
I think it is very unrealistic. I just can't imagine how that's – I mean, there's so many things. You know, the university president has to be on board with that and telling his comrades in the conference or her comrades in the conference – sorry, we're leaving for 3 months because you won't let us play. That's not going to work. Then you've got the litigation issues with media contracts. All these teams have their media rights money is tied to their conference. So if Nebraska went and played in the SEC, you know, the Big Ten's TV money isn't going with Nebraska into the SEC. So there's a whole lot of issues, and I cannot see how it's possibly going to work. And I don't know that the SEC is going to really be able to move forward full time beyond the next couple weeks here, just because of the situation, the optics with the virus, and especially this heart issue. Right, Big Ten, Pac-12 come out and say, basically, we're not playing because we're worried that, you know, about cardiac events caused by coronavirus. It makes it hard for the other conferences to move forward.
Now, let's say that, you know, this season just ends up going by the wayside for the most part. Maybe a conference or two ends up hanging on or individual teams. Do we even have any idea of what the aftermath of this would be? I'm assuming big programs can weather the storm a little bit. I know the Pac-12 talked about taking out some loans, but smaller schools in the Pac-12 or Mountain West schools or lower divisions, what sort of carnage does this leave with athletic departments when this is all said and done?
Well, that's to be determined, but I could be significant, right? I mean, we could see a lot of layoffs in athletic departments. We could see sports being cut in athletic departments. It could be very, very difficult situation, right? We're talking about $50-100 million for the big schools, even more for some of them from football. And where's that money going to come from? Do they have enough in reserve? You know, I would imagine that they will do everything they can to protect football, because football is going to be the way they get recoup that money down the road. Right. But at the same time, you know, folks that are kind of the lower paid end of your employment chart, those folks' jobs could be in jeopardy. There's going to be economic carnage across the country, you know, in a whole lot of respects if there's no football season.
And you cover the financials of the Pac-12 better than anyone. What, I mean, what can you put in into numbers? What if they don't have a season? What is the cost to a school like Oregon, Oregon State?
I mean, you could probably Pac-12. You could probably estimate, say, just $75 million times 12 is basically what we're talking about for football. I mean, it varies a little bit, right? And it also depends. Are you just talking about the money they get from the conference? Are you talking about what they get in ticket revenue and donations? I mean, I think you could conservatively estimate $75 million times 12 is basically getting close to the total damage.
And I'm assuming, again, just this is where the haves and have-nots of college football, to me, this gap could become even wider because – no one is going to be unaffected, but I'm assuming the USC's and the UW's or the Oregon's can handle this a little better than the Washington States or the Arizona's or even UCLA, who's going through some major financial concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say Washington State, Oregon State, Cal, UCLA are probably at or near the top of the list of the schools that are going to have more trouble and probably be more interested in taking out a loan from the Pac-12 if they decide to follow that path. You know, some schools have debt. You know, they're running in the red, but they are not in position, not precarious enough position that they feel like they need to take on more debt by taking out a loan to carry them through. It'll be real interesting. I could see nine schools possibly taking advantage of the lending program if they end up doing it.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. We'll wait and see what the Pac-12 does. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks a ton.
All right. Well, nothing's decided yet.
Nope. So we got we know the Big Ten's meeting right now, and, you know, we expect an announcement within the next, you know, 24 hours, and then the Pac-12, you know, maybe shortly thereafter. But I think this idea that there's going to be an 11th hour miracle, you know, because Jim Harbaugh wants to play or Mario Cristobal or Jimmy Lake or
whoever. The Clemson quarterback wants to play.
Yeah, the Clemson quarterback wants to play. It's like, let these athletes play. Again, you're dealing with billions of dollars in university funds here and liability. And it's interesting that he just brought up right there the cardiac issue there.
Myocarditis.
The idea for a university president in dealing with the idea of possibly having someone die on the field when we all know that it was pushed forward because of, just a financial thing. I think that's going to be tough for university presidents to swallow. And then, you know, athletic departments and ADs and coaches can yell and scream all they want, but you're going to need the sign off from the university presidents. And I think that's an important thing to remember is that they are the ones ultimately making this decision.
All right, in the news coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes, but up next, the coveted Primetime Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from a wild weekend in sports, and it kind of was wild. I'm not really lying about that. It's 414 on The Fan.
It's Primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
Okay, welcome back to our show. It's a Monday staple. It is prepared by the indelible Mike Lynch over there, who won $50 on the golf tournament this weekend. He's feeling good. He's feeling great, actually.
$50 feels good.
That's big.
He's having a night out.
Feels good, man.
Take that $50 out and party. Three drinks on Mike.
Did you go out?
No, I'm just happy that I now have more of a buffer in the Oregon Lottery scoreboard account that I can lose money with.
Good for you, Mike. Double down. That's the appropriate thing to do when you win big, is go ahead and roll that back into another bet.
Well, I did do a two baseball parlay today, so we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Who do we have? Who can we root for?
I took the Twins and the Padres money line.
Okay. Your Twins.
By the way, you're not supposed to go out. It's COVID. You can't go out.
No, you can't.
I mean, you can, but not like, not like celebratory, like parties type thing.
Yeah.
Party.
You can go out and celebrate with one other person that you've been around a bunch.
Right.
That's it. And then you can celebrate at a distance with other people. You can fist bump like champs just from 6 to 12 feet apart.
Right. We'll have in the news coming up next, the COVID numbers somewhat encouraging today.
Sure, let's go with that.
Well, they're not in the 400, so that's good. But here's Mike with our stock watch.
That's where our hopes are, right? You know, I came to that realization a bit early on some things, and I've been really pushing that particular concept. Don't know how that's going to look like, to be perfectly honest with you. But so that's really the goal, is to get to spring, to make adjustments, to give people and our student athletes a chance for an experience. So, but that still remains to be seen. But we're going to model those activities and do the best we can to give our student athletes, our fan base, and our in our community a chance to see some of the things that they've missed during the fall.
There is Sean Frazier. He is the athletic director of Northern Illinois. The MAC was the first major conference to cancel fall sports this year over the weekend, which has started the triggering of some of these other conferences making decisions or pending decisions. He's talking about playing in the spring, though, is what he'd like the MAC to try to do. Buy or sell, you think it's feasible for conferences to try to play in the spring?
I think it's feasible for them to try to play. I don't think it's going to work. My caveat would be, I think you could play in the spring if you had some form of modified. It's going to have to be a neutered season, right? I don't think you can play 12 games. I don't think you can have playoffs. You can't stretch it that far into the summer. There has to be a break. You can't be asking kids to turn around and then, you know, start camp at the end of July. So I could see something to the effect of 8 games, conference only, something regional. Again, this is assuming that everything's under control. If you look at some of the numbers, unless we have a vaccine, we may not have this under control by spring. So is it feasible? Sure, but with a caveat of it's not going to be a regular college football season.
Yeah, I would buy it. I think it is feasible, mainly because they're going to want to get some money.
Yeah.
So if the numbers are better by then, you better believe they're going to try to lace them up, because they need to recoup some of this money. I do think you're right that it will have to be truncated. You know, I don't know, 5 games, 6 games, 7 games, 8 games is better than 0 games.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that can be done. We talked to Wilmer about that a second ago. He said, you know, there's a lot of hurdles there, but they can, you know, they'll do anything for money.
So many of this stuff is wound up when you're dealing with TV contracts. Again, these things all just don't just magically become undone, and then you just get to throw new ones out there and everyone agrees to it. There's just so much legalese that's going to be involved in this. But, you know, I could see something like where you play a little regional, like kind of multiple spring games. Like if you're Oregon, maybe you play the other Northwest schools, you know, you limit travel. Maybe you play one out of conference and you have something like that. Anyone with NFL prospects, they're gone. So the Penn Sewells of the world, anyone that's really a first, second, or third round pick. So and we're not talking about just the one or two stars on a team. I mean, really anyone with serious NFL aspirations to being even a mid-round pick probably doesn't play. You know, there's a lot that is going to make the spring league a big challenge.
We all want to know. We want certainty. And what I can say is I can't provide certainty, but I can provide some clarity based on the information at the moment. And so that's the responsibility. And then how it continues to evolve, we're going to have to understand, is what's been happening now for 5 months. It takes a mental toll, but that's the leadership role we've all stepped into, even in an unpredictable environment.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. I only pulled that clip because the SEC wants to be patient, and it sounds like if conferences cancel their seasons, they're going to try to ask schools to come and join them and play in the fall. Buy or sell, that's a terrible idea.
Look, it's an unrealistic idea. I'm going to stop short of saying it's a terrible idea. Again, when we're talking to John Wilner, the Big 12 and the Big 10 hand out $40 million. So, and most of that is tied to TV money. So, and some of these schools have, you know, $70, $80 million buyouts to get out of the conference. So you're telling me that you're going to get, first off, the university president has to say yes. And supposedly in the Big Ten, there's only 2 university presidents that wanted to play Iowa and Nebraska. So you're saying the rest of the Big Ten's just going to be okay with you leaving and still and going and do your own thing for a year and not having any sort of buyouts? This goes back to this idea that you can just go do your own thing without any contracts or TV rights or anything like that. Is it a terrible idea? Look, if the SEC is going to plow ahead and other people want to, again, that's your own individual right. I just think logistically it's unrealistic would be more of my my view on that.
A made-for-TV college football season with the teams willing to play is a fabulous idea, but that will be very difficult to pull off.
Yes. Oh, so, and by the way, you have to put that all together in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, you could start later, couldn't you? Can you start in October?
Push back a little bit.
I mean, it could be five games. It could be, I don't know. But because the one thing I will say about everything you and Wilner just said about that is this is unprecedented, uncharted territory.
Yeah.
And so we don't really know what they can and can't do. We really don't know that. I mean, we can be sort of skeptical about it, and I get why everyone is, but we have no information on what could be possible. So who knows? Maybe because it's a one-off and it's COVID and it's a pandemic and all this is just so new and different that they would allow it and it could be done legally. I don't know. So I just say this. I think the idea is a great one. If, you know, if they play college football, I don't care who it is, the SEC, the Pac-12, only a handful of teams that are willing to play, I'm going to be watching.
Sure.
I'm interested.
100%.
Love it. Great idea. I mean, as long as they're safe.
Was a team loss yesterday, and obviously Dame missed his free throws, but I don't think anybody thinks anything less of Dame. He missed a couple free throws. Tonight, he just showed his determination and will they showed throughout his career, and obviously here in the bubble. So I don't think anybody was concerned about how he was going to come out and play tonight.
Well, Terry Stotts there saying he didn't think anybody was concerned about Dame's missed free throws. Well, I think Paul George and Patrick Beverly were concerned about it because they made fun of him for it. But Blazers, two games left. Mavericks tomorrow. Nets Thursday. They're a half game back of the Grizzlies for the 8th seed. They're a half game up on the Spurs and Suns in the 9th seed. Buy or sell the Blazers win their last two games and actually get the 8 before the play-in round?
No, I think they'll end up being the 9. I still think they'll end up being the 9th seed. But I think they'll get in. And the Nets, by the way, have already locked up the 7 seed, so they probably won't be playing anyone.
The Mavs, you mean?
The what?
The Mavs. You said the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets at the...
Sorry.
The Nets. So, I mean, neither squad really has a ton to play for. Although that really hasn't mattered because you lost to the B squad and you needed Lillard to have 51 to beat the Sixers without playing anyone either. But Portland gets in. 8 seed? No. I think they'll be the 9 seed and they'll have to beat beat Memphis twice.
Yeah, we got hot you boys' chumps talk coming up.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see that?
Although, can I
you say, boys' is chumps.
Can I say something real quick on this? I'm fascinated on why... I get he's your guy, and I love Lillard, but why can Lillard point to his wrist every time he hits a big shot, wave people bye-bye, do the little birdie thing, and yet if someone does it back to him, then it's disrespectful, and now we have to hate Paul George and Patrick Beverly, and, like, Lillard talks as much trash as anyone. Isn't that kind of the... Like I find it fascinating. They were like, oh my God, Paul George and Patrick Beverly. Lillard does it all the time. Anytime he hits a shot, he taunts someone.
I think it's one thing to taunt Westbrook in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Be careful on the Paul George Clippers thing.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're damn good.
Yeah.
With Kawhi especially. Now,
as proven as their B squad beat the Blazers.
Yeah. I mean, they're just tough, man. Yeah. What am I buying or selling?
That they win the last two games.
Oh, yeah. And get the eight. No, I don't think they'll get the 8. This is going to be tight, man.
Yeah.
They're only a half game back.
I don't even know if they're going to get the 9. They're only a half game back, but isn't Phoenix and San Antonio?
They're only a half game up on those two.
Yeah. So it's just like
win,
it is.
Yeah, win the last two. There's no room for error.
It is just so tight that I don't think you can predict any of it.
That Clippers loss hurt. That
was a big one.
Brutal.
Yeah. It was a big one. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You can tell when someone 23 years old gets into a big moment and they feel that big moment and you can see them that it shakes them just a little bit. I mean, sometimes you can still be successful, but you can see when it shakes a 23-year-old who's never been in that kind of a big moment before. But there's no moment that Morikawa has been in since he got onto the PGA Tour that really shook him.
Michael Collins, ESPN golf writer, talking about the PGA Championship winner, Colin Morikawa. I was seeing some of the stats from him over the weekend, so he's barely been at the PGA Tour level, and he's already playing really, really well. So buy or sell, he wins another major within the next three majors that come up.
Oh, no.
Next three?
Yeah, just the rest of the major schedule.
First of all, wait. There's no British Open this year.
No.
There are only two more majors this year. It's the U.S. Open and the Masters. And then they'll start again next year with, well, I guess the PGA is now first, right?
Yeah,
on the schedule.
The next three. Until next year's PGA Championship.
So then the next three technically are
Masters.
U.S. Open, Masters, and then PGA Championship again.
Yeah.
So will Colin Morikawa win one of those by herself?
I can sell that. Now, that's not to say that he won't win one of those because he is good enough to win one of those. He has it all. Colin Morikawa, if you've been paying attention to golf, is one of the best iron players on tour, and he's only 23 years old. He is pure with his irons, but he has shown off other facets of his game, including clutch putts, calm under pressure. He's got it all. He has a bright future. But again, we do this every time a young guy wins a major. We're like, oh my God,
yep,
they're the next guy. They're going to win 20. Look, he's got everything that it takes. Who knows how many majors he wins? I don't think he'll win any of the next three because you saw that leaderboard, man. Dude, it is just packed. These fields are just packed with guys all capable of doing what he just did. He's special, though. At the age of 23, that guy, next to Tiger Woods, he is already second all time in terms of making the cut in his first number of events consecutively. He played 22 events. This is, he's young. He's 23, right? 22, 23 years old. He gets on the tour. He does not miss a cut for 22 straight tournaments. The only guy who's ever done that more is Tiger Woods, who made the cut in 25 straight tournaments.
Last time I checked, he was pretty good.
And Tiger Woods, yes, he won some majors. So this guy really is special, but it's impossible to predict this, and the fields are tougher than ever. So he should relish it. This is his first major title in just his second major start. I also have, before you answer, I have one other hot take about the PGA Championship, which we can talk more about when we do a segment on it. I do think that a tournament like that with no fans is easier for a younger guy or for a guy who is prone to struggle under pressure. I think a tournament without fans actually helps bring more of those guys into the fray. And Jason Day even said it kind of after the round. He was like, it's unfortunate that we don't have the true pressure pack of a major here, because some of these, he was alluding to the fact that some of these guys up there probably wouldn't be if it had been that type of feel, but it wasn't. And Morikawa hit huge shots and there was still pressure and he deserves it.
Yeah, he was talking about Morikawa was when he had the 300-yard drive on 16 to 7 feet away for the eagle putt. He said he had no idea. He said he knew he hit a good shot, but he said there's no crowd up there, so there's no reaction. He was walking up being like, I think it was good, but I'm not certain. And yeah, he alluded to that there just it was kind of weird without the crowd. But anytime you give me this guy is going to win X number, or y'all take this guy versus the field, I will take the field every single time. Winning majors is really, really hard, and we love to put expectations on the next great thing. Always will sell that.
All right, the what's this called?
The Stockwatch.
Yes, the Hot Stockwatch.
The Stock Hotted Stockwatch 5.
Is brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. You can call 1-800-DIVORCE. Your phone questions will be answered at no charge.
This text says two Masters in a row. It's going to be U.S. Open, Masters.
Yeah, that may be right. I thought they moved the PGA.
The
to
PGA
the first
did
one.
Get moved.
It moved, but it's not till May, maybe.
So it's the second.
So the PGA Championship is in May.
Masters, PGA.
British, U.S. Open.
Sure.
We know what we're
They've
talking
changed the schedule.
About.
Mm-hmm. They've
yes,
changed
they,
the schedule.
Yes, they have.
And then COVID threw a
the
wrench.
PGA was always last, yeah. And I know it got moved up.
And then the Players is in there, too. But anyway.
Finally, but not last.
In the news next. You guys ready for some hot COVID talk?
Yes.
Some COVID numbers? You got the COVIDs?
No, I don't.
You avoiding the COVIDs?
Not that I know of.
How many Oregonians got the COVID today? Find out next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Hot 5 at 5 coming up. You know, 5 o'clock.
Wow.
But we've got a lot to discuss. We haven't even talked about the bubble and the Blazers yet.
No.
There's a rumor swirling in the NBA that coach is about to get fired. Not the Tear Bear.
No. I mean, you said coach. A coach.
Another coach.
Not the coach.
So that's all coming up. But right now, it's August 10th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Now, I failed miserably.
You did?
Yeah, because I wanted Mike to grab something. Mike, can you grab Hungry Like a Wolf by Duran Duran, if it is there?
Is it Duran Duran Day?
It is. It
really?
It is National Duran Duran Appreciation Day.
Well, I feel like Duran Duran probably does not get the appreciation they deserve, but do they need an entire day? I'm not certain about that.
Yeah, see, Hungry Like a Wolf.
Yeah.
Hungry Like the Wolf. Great tune. But I ask you this. What is the greatest Duran Duran hit?
Ooh, this is interesting. Because The Ordinary World is really good. Girls on Film. Can I go off on a bit of a tangent here and say that it probably doesn't get the appreciation, but I'm going to go with the James Bond theme song of View to a Kill.
It's a good tune.
Might be my favorite Duran Duran song.
What about Rio?
Yeah, I forgot about Rio.
I liked Rio.
Duran Duran is good.
They're great.
It's like 80s crappy pop, but
you could go Reflex. Remember that song?
Yeah.
The Reflex.
Well, and then, a lot of good ones. I'll bet you that's one of those that if you listen to their greatest hits or in concert, I bet you there's a lot of like those. Oh, yeah, I remember that song.
Girls on Film.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
They were great. It is also National S'mores Day. Ooh. Do you like s'mores?
I had a s'more this weekend.
What did you put on it? Did you like traditional?
No, my daughter makes me, she makes the s'mores. We do the campfires in the backyard, and she's the s'more master. She does the square marshmallows, which is key. She warms the chocolate by the edge of the fire so it's nice and melty, but she does the, for me, she does the Reese's peanut butter cup on the s'more.
Really love that.
And it is a total game changer, or she'll even do like a cookies and cream Hershey bar, which again, just to me, totally takes the s'more to another level.
I will say that the activity of making s'mores is incredible, especially if you're sitting at a fire, bonfire, you're out on the beach or whatever. It's great. But putting them together and eating them is really annoying because it's super messy. It tastes good, but it's just a process. So if Suk's daughter is making them for him and all he gets is the benefit of eating them, fantastic.
Yeah.
But the whole process of the s'mores is a little bit annoying.
It's like eat what you kill.
Yeah, that is true. It makes you appreciate it. Although I recently trimmed the beard.
I don't appreciate it.
Because I had kind of the big COVID shaggy beard going on. And I'll tell you what, if you've got the mustache that's grown over the lips, the s'more is, it's a pain. You just end up with
you
a lot.
Want to save some of that marshmallow for later?
Yeah, and then it's like it's hardened in there. It's tough. It's tough to eat with a full beard.
Do you ever put bacon on your s'mores?
What?
Yeah, we do that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you cooking the bacon?
Bacon's pre-made.
Okay.
You have to, you just make it. And
so you do a regular s'more, nothing changes, but you put bacon on it?
We have done the bacon, marshmallow, chocolate, graham cracker s'more.
Sounds good.
At the house.
you have my attention. I've never even attempted that.
All right, COVID numbers. Yesterday, this is at Oregon, 263 new COVIDs, one new death. Today, 227 new COVIDs, one new death.
So that's trending in the right direction.
It is, but every time we say that, it goes back to 450.
We have to have three straight weeks at under 5%.
Although I did see where over the weekend,
to get schools back,
they said that our seven-day average is plateauing.
Oh,
so that's kind of good.
Sure.
Kind of good.
Well, you're hearing some, like, it's there's still some places where it's raging, but we're hearing that across the country, there's some area, like I know Arizona has managed to try to stave off, the disaster. They've tapped it down a little bit, that we're seeing some success. So that's good. People taking it seriously.
In Washington, your state,
yes,
where you reside, and your governor, Jay Inslee, he has now required patrons at gyms to be 17 feet from each other.
Hey-o.
Yes.
How?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a square footage thing. So they're saying, so basically, They have new gym protocols in Washington. Larger gyms must cap capacity at 25%, and you have to be 17 feet apart from the next sweaty ball of
COVID
despair.
Today, I know my gym opened officially today for the first time. I think they were allowed on Saturday, I've yet to...
You're not going to go, are you?
I've yet to partake.
All right. Well, you got to be way far away from your bro.
Yeah.
Well, in Oregon, they require masks in all gyms now, like for the entire time.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. For a while, it wasn't that way. It was, you know, because they had the little loophole where it's like with intense exercise, you don't have to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And they just require it now. Indoors.
What happens if you like, can you go with like a partner? Like, you know, because like, you know, restaurants, right? You have to stay distance, but you can go with your group. Can you do that like at a gym? Can you go with like a, if you got a wife that you work out with, can you go? How does all,
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
Well, I mean, at least at the gym I go to, they are closing off like every other machine. So, and it, especially with the Washington rules, and they're be closing a lot more machines off. I don't think it matters who you go with. It's just, you're not going to be near each other because the machines are all closed.
Gyms are going to be one machine on one side of a room and then a bunch, like two weights on the other side of the room, and then you stand in line.
Something along those
and
lines.
And then one.
Like Disneyland.
One treadmill.
One treadmill.
You're sitting there, hey, bro, you done with that you done with that dumbbell? I'd like to pick that up after you
and by the way,
sanitize
it. Anyone ever follow the 30-minute treadmill guideline?
No.
Ever?
No.
I mean, I know they why that's there, you know. In a busy gym, you know.
Like gym rules in general, they're all kind of...
Come on.
There's a guideline for treadmills?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's limitations.
Every gym I've ever been to is like 30 minutes. During peak times, sure. You know, look, if somebody's waiting, get off the damn treadmill, you
Well, and there's all the times. Like, you're not supposed to, like, bring bags or anything to leave on the ground. Or like,
oh, I do that all the time.
Yeah, it's...
I'm in my jacket or whatever
sure, in
the winter.
Again, I find gym rules to be more of a...
Suggestion.
A suggestion. But no, I have not poked my head in yet, but, yeah. I'm sure I'll be squatting and thrusting 17 feet apart from people soon.
So you have to bring your own spotter, I guess. And it has to be a robot that tests negative for COVID, or it has to be one of your family members.
And has a letter from your mom saying that it's okay.
Right. Just don't go to gyms.
And you have to wear a Hannibal Lecter
mask. Wait, go to gyms. Stay healthy.
There you go.
But do it other ways. All right, so we've got protest news.
Yeah.
And I would like to talk about poor Henry. Did you see the story of poor Henry?
Poor Henry. Which one?
You have not seen the story of poor Henry.
I don't think so.
Is he different than rich Henry?
No, I mean poor as in like...
What about terrifying Henry?
This poor guy.
Which one? TH.
We'll get to that next. It is 447 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, somebody else mentioning a best Duran Duran song. This is a song we haven't mentioned yet, Save a Prayer.
Oh,
great
yeah.
tune. Great tune. It is National Duran Duran Appreciation Day, guys.
Is Duran Duran still around? Are they...
You know, I don't know that.
Are they still doing, like, the local... I'm assuming they're in their, like, the county state fair portion of their career?
I hope not. You know?
No? Just,
yeah, like, I mean, come on.
You make a good living doing that. I mean, you just...
Sure, but they don't
put
need
out,
that.
They don't put out new music. I bet you they do.
They're Duran Duran.
I don't think they have as much money as you think.
Look them up.
All right.
Give me a lead singer of Duran Duran net worth.
Yeah, they're still around, by the way. And
that
they put out a new album recently.
What?
Yeah.
They're still making albums?
Still making albums. I don't know if anyone's buying them, but...
I'd give it a run.
Like the Wolf we just did. Play it again!
Simon Le Bon.
Yeah.
Look up his net worth.
I'll say 15 mil.
15?
Mm. I'll look it up here. Mm.
Well, this is the story of poor Henry. You know, look, COVID is ravaging the world. People are dying.
Yes.
But when somebody abandons a dog, record scratch.
Oh, yeah, that's right out.
You can't do that.
No.
This is where we draw the line.
It is amazing that we'll step over a homeless man laying on the street in the gutter to spit on someone, you know, that's talking rough to a dog.
There is the classic debate. If you're in a car,
yeah,
and there's one lane of traffic, and there's a homeless guy or your dog,
mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Yeah, I look.
You know?
I think there's a lot of people that are...
There's a lot of people that... I mean, that's quite a connection to our furry little creatures.
Yeah.
Our little pets.
Yes. Well, it's unconditional...
And not to homeless men.
Well, it's unconditional love. And so people form that bond. Whereas with, like, people, they're like, well, he deserved it. He made poor choices.
which isn't entirely true.
No, it is not. But there are a lot of people that are going down that road.
Poor Henry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this picture, but it's heartbreaking.
Can I just look up poor Henry?
Henry... Well... Henry is a 13-year-old lab, and Clark County Animal Protection and Control, there is a photo of a woman leaving him and basically just abandoning him.
Oh, man.
And he is adorable. Look at that smiley old
gray face. Now you're breaking my heart.
And there's a picture of the woman.
He's driving him off.
And poor little Henry sitting there, like, with his leg, or it's like, with his tail down, kind of going like.
Yeah, she just takes him to a cul-de-sac. Yeah. Takes him out of the car and drives away.
And
you
drives away.
Son of a.
And so she abandoned him. And I will tell you that when you watch the video, it's heartbreaking because poor Henry doesn't understand what's happening.
Yeah, he's
like, hey,
waiting.
Wait, Mom.
Yeah, where'd you go?
But they have identified the woman.
What a piece of crap.
And she has been cited under Clark County animal cruelty laws for abandoning poor Henry.
Yeah, nothing will happen to her, but she's a real piece of.
And that's Henry is now safe. Henry is with the foster family, and they say that he's doing great.
Okay.
And I tell you what, my wife and I, if I had known about this on Saturday,
you would have taken Henry.
Absolutely would have taken
Henry. I
will
tell you that I have fostered two senior dogs till, unfortunately, they passed away. Both were with them or with me for a year-ish before they passed. Some of the more rewarding experiences I've ever had in my life was caring for those beautiful dogs, who, by the way, both were abandoned by people that had owned them their entire life. It baffles me. And I get it. One moved and was like, well, we can't take the dog. F you then. You've had the dog for 13 years. You know it's only got a year left. And you're telling me at that point you're punting on it? Ah, oh, it pisses me off.
It blows my wife and I away. We talk about it all the time, too. Like, who are these people that just surrender their dogs after years?
I don't know.
And you're right. Sometimes there are circumstances. But, boy, that is difficult to do. That's got to be difficult to do.
Like, I've got a senior, my American Bulldog is, you know, probably not long for the world. I've had her since she was 6 weeks old. The idea that at this point in her life, when I'm the only thing she's known, and that I would just be like, you know what? You're a little old and I don't really want to take care of you anymore and times have gotten tough, so here, just, I'm going to abandon you out on the street. That says something about who you are inside your soul.
Totally. Yeah, like, who does that?
Well, apparently pieces
of crap. And it was on camera.
I know.
Hilarious that she got caught.
Yeah, and someone's saying, was she in a Tesla? Was that the car?
I couldn't tell. That's a Tesla?
That's what someone said.
It looks like a nice car.
I wasn't paying it. I just saw that it wasn't like a jalopy or anything.
No,
it looked like
it's a nice
sedan.
Car. What a bitch.
Exactly.
God, how do you do that?
Well,
anyway.
Hopefully Henry gets to live out his final years in some loving arms.
That's really disruptive to a 13-year-old dog.
Yep.
You know, that's been with her, I assume, for a long time.
One would think.
Now he's got to switch homes, and it's confusing to him. Very sad. But anyway, Henry's getting, they say he's getting lots of love, so that's good.
Good. Yeah, there is something great about elderly dogs, right?
They're the best.
They really are.
They're just so cute.
Yeah, you're just in that sweet spot.
Waddling around. They got the old white face.
Yeah, they think about whether or not they want to get up or not. Like, I come home every day now, and Bool, who's my old one, she looks up and she has this debate. She's like, not today. And she just lays there. And then other times she's feeling spry and she gets up and meets me. And same thing about, hey, do you want to go? Like, hey, do you want to go to bed? Sometimes it's yes up the stairs. And other times it's, you know what? I'm going to just lay right here. But she's always up for a little love and some scritches. Oh, she's the best.
All right, well, that's all we have time for today on In the News. Tomorrow we will discuss the latest on the riots here locally. But we must move on. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We do have, thanks to Oregon Live, we have some news on Oregon Ducks' positive COVID results. An NBA coach is about to get fired, and what is going to happen with the college football season? All next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.